Yeah, I mean, always have your first aid kit handy. You know, you never know what's going to happen. A round can always bounce off of anything and come back and nick somebody. And so you got to be prepared for that. You got to be ready to go. We had like 4 first aid kits here. And, you know, I'm pretty proud of the fact that we had that. We were able to take care of the situation. I hope your arm's feeling better, brother. And yeah, we'll have to get you to sling around downrange here and maybe blow up a Coke bottle, huh?
Yeah, I'm in. Whatever. I'm good. Thank you. Right.
Thanks, guys. Right.
Thanks, brother.
Thank you.
I need a minute. Give me a minute. Because I don't know if you follow me on social media at all. I had some words about this. I had a late night working. I had some words about this last night. Don't be a cunts. Just don't be.
Is that how you pronounce his name?
Yeah, that's how you pronounce his name, Kane. Did you not know that? The man's name?
I thought it was Kuntz.
It's whatever I say it is.
Oh.
It's how we're doing this today, okay. You know? It's how we're doing
and
it today.
By the way, Tannerite doesn't just absorb around.
Well, wait, no, stop. You're getting ahead of everything.
I know.
Wait, stop. Nope, stop. We got time for that. I need a moment because what the hell did we just watch? It was like a Renaissance painting of dumb blankery. Watching all of that. So, first off, welcome to the program. Dana Lash with you. We're at the top of our first hour. I'm in the theater last night. I went to go see James O'Keefe's new film, Line in the Sand, and it was really great. And I noticed my phone started going off. I look at my phone. I pick my phone up and I look at it. And it's several friends, you know, saying, have you been online recently? Like, what are you talking about? I said, I need you to go look at the Twitters. Particularly, I need you to go look at Lucas Kuntz's pages. It's K-U-N-C-E. That's his name. Golly, it's like Schitt's Creek. S-C-H-I-T-T-S. That's his name. Stop it. Kane's over here having a stroke. Stop it. Okay. They're like, you need to go look at his stuff. And I went and I looked. And if Juan could throw up the screenshot, this is the first thing that I saw. I wrote about it, too, if you're a subscribed over at Substack. Dana Lash here with you. I wrote about it too. And I'll be dang. He's bragging. He thought that was a flex. Now, if you don't know who Lucas Kuntz is, he's the guy. He's the Democrat incumbent. Or no, sorry. He's the Democrat challenging the Republican incumbent, Josh Hawley, in our home state of Missouri. And so there were 4 photos that he shared on Twitter. And it's so bad. He shared these photos. He's bragging about, first off, let's stop here. He's bragging about shooting a reporter at a campaign event at the range. So this tweet, there were 4 photos. And in one of the photos specifically that they had was a picture of Adam Kinzinger. And everybody remembers Adam Kinzinger. You all know who Adam Kinzinger is, right? He's the guy who's a big giant rhino. Big giant rhino. And he was there shooting. It was a range day. It was a campaign range day. And he's there. He's holding AR-15 with a giant scope on it, standing 7 yards away from steel targets, shooting over a table of Tannerite. And he has no ear, no eye pro on, nothing. And he's holding his rifle like an absolute capital B and something itchy. It, like I said, it's like a Renaissance painting of dumb blankery. So many things wrong with that image. And then, of course, shocking, a reporter is indirectly shot because they're shooting steel with .223. They also had a bolt action there. They were even on steel 7 yards away. And a reporter gets injured. And Lucas Kuntz thinks that that's a good thing to post online as a flex. He wrote, great day at the range today with my friend Adam Kinzinger. We got to hang out with some union workers while exercising our freedom. Always have your first aid kit handy. Shrapnel can always fly. First off, no, you weren't. How was that a great range day? You shot a dude. This is like the Alec Baldwin Rust set. You shot a dude. You Dick Cheney'd a dude. You went full Alec Baldwin on this set of Rust. And he calls it a great day at the range while posting a picture of Adam Kinzinger looking like an absolute bitch holding a rifle. He's like leaning so far away from it. It's like he's simultaneously terrified of it. And also he wants to flex. He's got his elbows sticking out like a chicken wing. I mean, can you properly shoulder the thing? Just good heavens, someone tell him how to extend it. He's going to hurt himself and everybody else. And why does he have that foregrip? Why is that giant grip like that? Why? Why is he that close to the targets? Why is he shooting over Tannerite? Why does he exist? We have a million questions. But Lucas Kuntz calls it a great day at the range. They went to the Alec Baldwin School of range shooting. You know, some people, you know, they go to gun sight. Now these guys went to the Alec Baldwin School. So a reporter gets shot. Oh, but wait. Then they were like, you know what? When a Band-Aid will do, why not apply a tourniquet? And the first rule of applying a tourniquet is to apply it directly to the wound.
No.
Here they are, not knowing what the hell a tourniquet is, applying it directly to his wound. When a Band-Aid would have done. I always thought the general rule is if you can smile, then a Band-Aid will suffice, correct? Yeah. That's what I have always been told. I don't know, but this happened. This all came out last night. And it's a good thing that Kinzinger has his eye pro protecting his hair. I mean, heaven forbid. But if you guys don't know what Tannerite is, it goes splody boom. It's the best way to put it. The number one rule of reckless range day is to shoot directly above the splody boom stuff and then apply tourniquets directly on the wounds of the reporter that you indirectly shot. I mean, I am just surprised and shocked that with all of these safety measures in place, I never would have thought that, you know, a reporter would have been hit. I don't know. But here's the thing. These guys are big gun control advocates. They want restrictions on magazine capacity, the whole thing. By the way, there's always a tweet. Of course there is. So this, he's like the, this Lucas Kuntz guy. I mean, it's amazing. When the McCluskey story happened in St. Louis, Lucas Kuntz decided that he was going to get on X, and he posted, quote, "Hey, Mansion Man, McCluskey, my offer still stands for a Marine-led weapon safety training before you go get your next gun." I think he needs to take the safety training. I have not seen a campaign self-own like this since Michael Dukakis. And at least Michael Dukakis didn't shoot anybody, directly or indirectly. They should form a club. This is like classic white dudes for Harris. They should form a club with Alec Baldwin and Dick Cheney and Tim Walz. Yes, they should. They should form a club. I mean, I just want to let you know I'm going to make fun of this all day because I've never seen anybody's cell phone so hard in my life. I mean, I don't understand. And then they were like shrapnel. There's shrapnel and then there's what? The stuff from ricochets. I mean, there is a difference. But you can't criticize them because they're like, well, we served in the military. Oh, I didn't realize. And look, I appreciate those who serve, but we literally led a revolution and cut a bunch of Hessians' heads off on Christmas Eve so that we weren't ruled by a military or a king. So let's all keep that in mind, shall we? Just saying. Yeah, on Christmas. God bless America. So I'm just saying that doesn't mean that you get a pass for being a dumbass at the range. If this would have happened at my range, this would have happened at Texas Gun Experience, they would have thrown them out. If this would have happened at the outdoor range I go to, they would have been tossed out. My gosh, I would have tossed them out. This is crazy. People like this just, I mean, it's terrifying. It is absolutely terrifying. I would not want to be at the, Kane, would you want to go to the range with these guys?
No.
What if they were like, hey, Kane, let's go shoot. Would you be like, who? No.
I'd be like, I'll meet you there.
Oh my gosh. So Adam Kinzinger tried to defend it last night by talking about J6. I swear to you, people weren't shooting people at J6. Not like y'all were at your campaign event, the range. I can't believe this guy posted this online without any self-awareness and he thought it was a flex. He thought that was a flex. That would be like me sharing a picture on X of me throwing a ball. I can't throw to save my life. Everything's a dangerous projectile. Everything is a weapon in my hands. I cannot throw. I couldn't play baseball. I'd be killing people. It'd be like me trying to post something like that and acting like it's a flex. Or me talk. I mean, it's just so bad. Why would you debase yourself? Like, because he doesn't know. That's the short answer. He doesn't know. They're morons. These are people. I honestly, I know I've said a lot about this last night. Never let anybody who does any of the stuff that we've just shown you or discussed, not only near your gun rights, but near elected office. Don't let these people anywhere near it. Nowhere near it. I mean, the fact that they were literally shooting over Tannerite and no one thought, hey, guys, maybe we shouldn't shoot over the splody boom stuff. Maybe we should take it off the table. Nobody thought of that. Golly, it's just chef's kiss. Chef's kiss. So, yes, good afternoon to everybody except Lucas Kuntz and Adam Kinzinger, who went full Baldwin. Like their campaign range event was a Rust film set. I mean, that's Lucas Kuntz in Missouri. Don't be a Kuntz. I'm just telling you. Don't be like him. Don't be like him. All right. We've got, that's just the tip of the iceberg. We've got a lot to touch on today. It's a packed show because coming up, and oh, I got more on this. Oh, I do. Because, you know, I got a particular set of skills, and one of them is ridiculing people who do stupid stuff like this. It's a gift. It's a gift. But we also have, coming up, we're going to be talking with Florida Governor Ron DeSantis because they got two amendments in Florida that they're fighting. I got a question for you. What y'all think about this? Why is it that, you know, it, and everybody was rightfully up in arms about this Soros fund, George Soros's group, right, which is a foreign entity because it's majority foreign owned. You have to go through all kinds of hoops and processes and everything else in order to purchase any kind of broadcast distribution, like when they purchased Odyssey, which full disclosure, we're on a bunch of Odyssey stations. So why is it that there is a legal a set of regulations governing that, but you can be a foreign entity and you can literally come into the United States and write law and get it passed? That's what they're trying to do in Florida right now with Amendment 3. It's the big weed. It's big weed. It is. Why is it that everyone's like, oh, I don't know. Oh, wait, did you say weed? That must mean that you like liberty. No, it doesn't. It means that anything can be used as a veneer for liberty while behind the scenes they're working to make another conglomerate. All the people that were mad at Big Pharma, y'all ought to be up in arms over big weed trying to take over in Florida with Amendment 3. But hell no, you got some dumbass Republicans out there like, well, I don't know. I think I like the idea of people being able to do the weed. We're going to talk about all of that stuff. So you don't want to miss a single bit of today's show. Black Rifle Coffee. See, I don't need a robot making my coffee. I don't need a robot doing any of that stuff. I just need good coffee. Clearly, I've had a lot today. I've had maybe one more cup than I normally do. I had the Silencer Smooth today. By the way, that I believe is part of the, it is, it's part of the Complete Mission Fuel Kit Variety Sampler. So if you love coffee, you can get their sampler kit. It's a lineup of their classic Black Rifle Coffee Company blends. So you get 4-ounce bags of like all my favorites, AK-47 Espresso, the Beyond Black, the Just Black, the Silencer Smooth, which I had a lot of today. Every flavor is amazing. It comes in this cool blue box. It's a great gift for people who like coffee. Now, it's available exclusively in ground texture. You can get all of these blends in a whole bean K-cup ready to drink, like pretty much like whichever medium you would like. And you can join the coffee club. You choose your roast, your frequency of shipment, and it shows up to your front porch with free shipping. So you're saving money, you're saving time, and you're never going to run out of coffee. It is a veteran-owned coffee company. They employ veterans in active duty. And they're all about giving props to American culture and our military as well. You need to experience outstanding flavor and aroma at blackriflecoffee.com. Order yourself the Complete Mission Fuel Kit Variety Sampler. Get 20% off with code Dana. 20% off. Code Dana at BlackRifleCoffee.com.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
All right. So Bill Gates privately says that he's backed Kamala Harris with a $50 million donation. But sit here and whine some more about Elon Musk left. Oh, my God, he's the billionaire threatened by the election. But then it's like crickets when it's Bill Gates doing it. Just, you know, Of course, is anybody surprised at this, though? Is anybody actually surprised that he...
It's different.
Disgraced. Okay, so did you guys have on your bingo cards this year the Abercrombie CEO being a pederast? Did you guys have him? Okay, so the dude, He's the former CEO of Abercrombie and Fitch, which totally like explains it. Their stores were always weird. Like they smelled like cologne, and they were dark, and it was like I mean, you walk in and it was like a dimly lit, drunk, bad frat house. Not all frats are bad. And so anyway, this former Abercrombie and Fitch guy, Mike Jeffries, he's released on bail. He's 80 years old. He was accused of running an international sex trafficking operation in a bombshell 16-count federal indictment. He and his partner were arrested in West Palm Beach. There's a third dude who was arrested in the same case in Wisconsin. He looks like, you guys remember that old creepy like dead guy from Poltergeist who wore the wide brim Quaker hat? Okay, he looks like that. This guy's got way too much. And then Juan's finding a very old photo of him. He totally does not look like this anymore. He looks creepier, older, grayer, and saggier, if you can imagine. It's so nasty. Anyway, he was released on $500,000 bond. I can't even give you all the details of his crimes. Basically, whatever nastiness you can imagine, yes. Yes, he did it. I mean, there literally are no exceptions. I'm not even exaggerating. That's how bad it is. I can't even get into like the details of the case. It's gross. Let's see this. Ooh, this is kind of weird. I feel like this also was a skit on Dave Chappelle Cribs. Scientists discover 80 million year old fully intact dinosaur eggs from a previously unknown species. It's the smallest fully intact dinosaur egg ever discovered in a remote area of China. I'm immediately going to ask questions because they did make fake pandas. Just saying. The egg isn't over an inch long. It's one of six dinosaur eggs in a fully preserved nest from the late Cretaceous period. It's weird. They're weird looking. They got pictures of them. They are weird looking. But I mean, I'm just wondering. Scrambled eggs, anybody? Stick with us. Text Network USA. They have been helping taxpayers save over $1 billion in tax debt. And they filed over 10,000 tax returns. They specialize in helping people like you reduce their tax burdens, and they can help. So the October 15th deadline is passed now, several days. And if you owe back taxes or have unfiled returns, you're totally going to get intensified enforcement efforts from the IRS. It's totally going to happen. You could see wage garnishments, frozen bank accounts, property seizures if you've not done anything. Schedule today a complimentary consultation. Call 1-800-958-1000 or visit tnusa.com/Dana. And if you feel overwhelmed by the thought of filing your back taxes, this is where you can rely on the expert team at Tax Network USA. They have skilled professionals dedicated to getting you the best resolution for your issues. Doesn't matter if you have 10,000 or 10 million, if it's just you or if it's a business, they have the experience and tools to handle anything. And they can get you, you know, a tailored solution, whether you're able to pay or on a fixed income. They'll resolve your tax burdens effectively. Visit tnusa.com/Dana or call 1-800-958-1000 for a free consultation. Their experts will walk you through a few simple questions to see how much you can save. Act now before the IRS takes more aggressive steps. Take control today. TNUSA.com/Dana, 1-800-958-1000.
Not able to catch all 3 hours of The Dana Show? Subscribe to the full podcast and get news and laughs delivered in short, easy-to-digest episodes. Ideal for your busy lifestyle on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcast.
So last night, folks, Barack Obama was in Detroit. We told you that they were going to bring up Eminem, right? Before I get too far into this segment, first off, welcome back. Dana Lash with you, bottom of this first hour. And you can watch us, Channel 347, DirecTV, Rumble, we're on X. The chat happens at Rumble. Also find us at Substack, Chapter and Verse. The reason I bring up the Eminem thing is because what in the world is up with his Wooly Willy beard? You guys remember Wooly Willy? What was it? Were they iron shavings? And you like arrange them magnetically around this bald man's face. It was, I had one. I think I got it at a dollar store in Southern Missouri somewhere. And when I see Eminem with his beard, I think of Wooly Willy. Like he dyes it and it looks weird. And it just doesn't look right. You know, like it doesn't look right. Anyway, so Barack Obama was in Detroit with Eminem. And in case you haven't had your dose of cringe today, here it is, audio soundbite 9. Go ahead.
I got to say, you know, I have done a lot of rallies, so I don't usually get nervous. But I was feeling some kind of way following Eminem. Now I notice
your palms were sweaty.
My palms are sweaty.
Knees weak.
Arms are heavy. Banging on my sweater already. Mom's spaghetti. I'm nervous, but on the surface I look calm
and ready to drop cringe.
But I keep on forgetting.
Oh my gosh. And the whole crowd roars so loud. The cringe is so strong. Oh my gosh. If you didn't have, I mean, just because you can doesn't mean you should. I'm just saying. Boy, I guess they convinced everybody there. Look, Barack Obama knows some words to a song. We're going to vote for Marxism. Yay!
He understands me.
Do you guys want to know what the... Have you ever seen that Spider-Man meme where it's two Spider-Men in an alley pointing at each other? Have you guys ever wanted to know what that sounded like in soundbite form, Audio Soundbite 8? Because Audio Soundbite 8 is the Spider-Man meme. Like, come to life. Listen.
I don't understand how we got so toxic and just so divided and so bitter. And I get why sometimes people just don't want to pay attention to it. And we all have friends like that. We have family members who are just like, you know, it's all a circus out there. I get that.
Really? Yeah, dude, that was you. Like, bitter clinger, domestic terrorist. I mean, I remember what y'all called the Tea Party. Pepperidge Farm remembers. What is this? Like, I just don't know how we got, you damn bitter clingers. I just don't know how we got so divided, you domestic terrorists, you bunch of racist hillbillies. I just don't know how we got so divided. That's a shock. It's the greatest mystery of our time. Oh, my gosh. I just can't. These people, I'm telling you what. It is something else. I just cannot. And so I, you know, it's amazing to me to see this. And I don't know if it's going to convince anybody to go and vote for Kamala Harris. Speaking of which, I got some, I mean, her numbers, she's struggling. Everyone's making a big deal about how much she's struggling with dudes. Now she's holding, don't get all excited, Democrats. She's holding, Reuters says, a 46-43 lead over Trump, and this is a Reuters Ipsos poll. This is a new survey that's out. Again, margin of error is within the margin of error, but she's losing dudes, and young voters are not getting super jazzed about this. They're not really jazzed about her. They are, her the inroads that she's making here are being chipped away elsewhere. And I think that's important to keep in mind. I mean, I think people are just, they're just depressed. She is a depressing candidate. I mean, when you look at, and there were two of these polls, she had this, I mean, it's a very small lead. It's within the margin of error. I mean, it shows them being basically tied. But voters, when you look at the breakdown, this Reuters poll that I was citing, they hold a very, it's described as a, quote, dim view of the economy. They describe themselves as a glum electorate, and they think that America is on the wrong track when it comes to immigration and the economy, and they rank those their highest priorities. So how in the world does she hold? I mean, I'm just trying to think, how does she have this 3-point, just going by this, and it's very, very close nationally with all the surveys, but yet people feel this way about these issues. Is it because they don't know where she stands on the issues? Is it because they just, it's either they don't know where she stands on the issues, or it is they have not been able to convince themselves to get behind Trump because there's just a they are preset. They have a dislike of Trump preset. That's the only way, you know, and they're trying to rationalize like not getting on board and voting for Trump because of their dislike, their already predetermined dislike. But I will say that I don't know how much stock I put in this, in these two Reuters polls, because all of them have been kind of everywhere. I mean, the polls have been like really, the fluctuations have been so dramatic that it makes all of this seem more, it just makes some of these differences seem exaggerated. I mean, how are you glum? I mean, I don't know. I mean, what do you want? Are they just, it doesn't look like they're all younger voters. If they're offered a choice, are they going to go with, you know, the second part of the Biden administration? That's it. Is this, because this is it. I'm just trying to figure this out. There's no other way to analyze this. It's either they don't know who she is, or again, like I said, they just have a predetermination of dislike for Trump. And that is a hard thing to get over. But at that point, I think if you are so wired to dislike a candidate, even to your own detriment, I don't know that there's going to be anything that a candidate can do to get through to you. And at some point, it becomes the voter's fault. I'm just saying. It does. I don't know. It's a weird thing to look at. It's weird. So now while this is, you know, we've been looking at all this stuff, we also have this story, this false story. The media malpractice is crazy. So did you guys hear about this story of Trump apparently going off at the cost of this like soldier's funeral bill? I don't know if you guys heard it or not. We should discuss it because it's media malpractice is what it is. It started with The Atlantic, and they wrote this story using anonymous sources, and they were trying to say that Trump disparaged this murdered Army specialist, Vanessa Gillian, and told Mark Meadows to not pay for her funeral. And that's what The Atlantic wrote. They were saying, oh, what happened in December 4, 2020. And, you know, they were saying that Trump asked, did they bill us for the funeral? What did it cost? And they said that Cash Patel was there. Mark Esper wasn't there. He'd been terminated. And they were saying that according to attendees and to contemporaneous notes, an aide said, yes, it was $60,000. Trump was angry and says, and they accused him of saying it doesn't cost $60,000 to bury a blanking Mexican. And then he turned to Meadows and told him, don't pay it. And later in the day, he was still agitated. Can you believe it? People trying to rip me off. And the family of Vanessa Gillian actually tweeted to The Atlantic, like her sister, Myra, said, quote, wow, I don't appreciate how you are exploiting my sister's death for politics. Hurtful and disrespectful to the important changes she made for service members. President Donald Trump did nothing but show respect to my family and Vanessa. In fact, I voted for President Trump today. So she denies it. The family denies it. Mark Meadows went out and he said, any suggestion that Trump disparaged Ms. Gillian or refused to pay for the funeral expenses is absolutely false. So all the people who were there, including the family of the service member in question, they've all vehemently denied the story. And The Atlantic still ran it. Even Ben Williamson said, I sent The Atlantic a comment saying that President Trump absolutely did not say that. And then The Atlantic translated it. This is according to Ben Williamson, translated it to say, I didn't hear Trump say it. So Ben Williamson, who's spokesperson for Mark Meadows, literally, and he included screenshots, he told The Atlantic that Meadows says that Trump absolutely did not say that. He was there. He absolutely did not say that. This is false. Spokesman for Mark Meadows. This is how they put it. A spokesman for Mark Meadows denied having heard Trump make the statement.
Oh, my God. We don't hate him enough.
This is absolute. And Jeffrey Goldberg wrote this. I mean, Jeffrey Goldberg also was one of the people who like lied to us about all the stuff in the lead up to Iraq War. But I digress. Wow. That's unbelievable. Unbelievable. So The Atlantic, however much you hate the press, it's not enough because they're not a free press. That's a lie. It is a myth. There never has been a free press. Press in this US of A, all it began as an op in the first place. And I'm fine with having people be able to freely write whatever they want to, but don't act like it's like some kind of sanctimonious or position of sanctity and that these people who aspire to be journalists, they don't treat it like a priesthood. Don't treat it like, you know, you're a pastor. Don't treat it like you're an elder at a church, because that's not the service that these people are in. Very rarely do you find a reporter who actually prioritizes getting out information, regardless of which agenda it serves, over their own ego-filating byline obsession. Because I've met four. Isn't that sad? In my lifetime of being in this industry, I've only met four people who I can say actually put the story before themselves and are more concerned with getting out a story as opposed to serving an agenda. Because a lot of the journalists, they want to serve an agenda because they want to be power adjacent, because with power adjacency comes popularity. It's a problem on the right and left. It's my biggest criticism with some of the stuff in the previous administration. This is absolute journalistic malpractice. It's not even journalistic malpractice. This is just, it's fiction. Shame on these people. The family lawyer for the Gillians, he also accuses Jeffrey Goldberg of completely lying about all of this stuff. And so far, they've not changed it. They've not changed it. I mean, they literally made up. Are they going to have to add like a bunch of fake dead military Trump stories in the Atlantic at this point? Because I can't even can't even count on both my hands how many times they've done this stuff. It's crazy. Absolute journalistic. This isn't even an attempt at journalism. It's a false story. It is a false story. And I feel like they were trying to do something to hit him after the McDonald's thing, because the McDonald's thing was so successful. I mean, the New York Times tried to hit at it. There were so many more. They were having an absolute meltdown. I'm just saying, it's pretty unbelievable. Patriot Mobile is the only Christian conservative cell phone service that's out there. They don't spend your money on all the things that you vote against at the ballot box either. And they have Patriot Mobile One right now. One phone, one carrier, multiple networks. So you can seamlessly use dual SIM capabilities and manage your personal and business lines on a single device. You don't have to have a million different phones anymore. Travel friendly coverage. I have never, ever had a problem with Patriot Mobile, no matter where I've been in the world, never an issue. If I'm in the UK, if I'm in Italy, Spain, wherever I am, I've never had an issue. In the Caribbean, never had an issue. Access to all major networks. And when you switch, you're supporting U.S. jobs because you're working with a 100% U.S.-based customer service team. They make it easy to switch. So visit PatriotMobile.com/Dana, free activation using code Dana, and you get a free month of service as well. Only when you use code Dana. 972-PATRIOT is the number. PatriotMobile.com/Dana. Switch today and get your free month of service and free activation using code Dana.
Get the lowdown on the latest news with a side of laughs whenever you want. Subscribe to the Dana Show podcast on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcast.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
Hey, hi, Michael. You know, for some of you folks who, guys mostly, I guess, who are thinking about attending a rally with Musk and Trump, they don't really respect you. They laugh at you behind your back. They think you're stupid. They don't want to hang out with you. They have nothing in common with you. They're not your bros. And I'm telling you, when Trump, years ago, I guess, said, I could shoot somebody on Fifth Avenue and they'd still vote for me, basically what he's saying in parentheses is, these people are so stupid, they're so dumb, they'd still vote for me. They have no respect for you. Trust me.
Why? How would he know? Like, why do you got to be like this? Michael Keaton, come on. You're like one of my favorite actors ever. Why? Why do you got to do this? Why do you got to poop in somebody's stocking? Why do you got to do that? Like, first off, how do you even know this? Like, oh, they don't like you. They're laughing at you. Says who? I mean, I get it that some people don't like Trump. I get it. But why does that entitle you to just make up stuff, you know, offhand and just apply it as like truth and demand that it be taken with truth? And we're supposed to believe you because you were in Beetlejuice, because you were Batman. I mean, why? Damn, King.
I know.
Just milkshake ducked himself. Why? This predisposition that people have, these presets, again, people've got to stop looking at candidates like, you're not voting for your new best friend, okay? You're not voting on whom you're going to have in your house and serve a big Sunday dinner to. You're not voting on somebody whose life you're going to endorse and rubber stamp and some kind of like virtue passport up at the pearly gates. It's not how this works. You're using them as a vehicle for an agenda. The left is convincing people that it's more than that, as like this emotional psyop to try to stop people from voting to advance their agenda. These people voted for a dude that killed a woman by letting her drown in a pond while he ran away. They voted and supported a guy who got, you know what, under the Resolute desk in the Oval Office. So come on, don't sit here and allow people that have no virtue try to emotionally blackmail you and tell you that voting for a candidate is an endorsement of everything that they've ever done in their lives. You're voting on whom your next employee is going to be. You're voting on someone that you're going to use as an agenda to enact your will. That's what you're voting on. That's another reason why I hate when politicians say, well, this is my agenda. This isn't your agenda. You say, this is, I support the agenda that best aligns with the electorate. That's the word you should be using. That's how you should be speaking of it. But people like Keaton, they're just like trying to emotionally blackmail voters. And I'm just tired of it. Golly, it's just stop already. Stop. It's a lot. So coming up in our second hour, Big Weed. There are people who think that this somehow the presence of weed or something like that means that there's more liberty around. And that's not the case. Florida is going through a very interesting time right now, particularly with two different amendments. You got Amendment 4 and Amendment 3. And don't think for one second that it's not an attempt at national framework on these issues, particularly with weed, where you have a Canadian company that's literally writing law and expecting it to, writing law, solely writing law, and trying to get it passed in Florida. Now, if they were trying to purchase radio time or radio airwaves like like Odyssey with the Soros fund, they wouldn't be able to do it because there are laws that regulate that. But why is there nothing that actually prevents these foreign entities from coming in and writing law and expecting all of us to follow it? We're going to talk about all of that more coming up, second hour on the way. Our partners over at Kel-Tec, the P15, if you don't have it, you should get it. It's the lightest, thinnest, double stack 9mm on the market. And lightweight, powerful, 15-round standard capacity. It ships with two magazines, one standard 15-round minimal pinky extension, one flush-fit double-stack mag that holds 12 rounds, tritium and fiber optic front sight, fully adjustable fiber optic two-dot reader, striker fire reliability, great trigger pull, has the metal version and the polymer version. It's their striker fire pistol, and it's from the inventors of the micro compact pistol category. It is absolutely ideal for concealed carry self-defense, quality made right here in America. It is the thinnest double stack 9mm around. You're not losing stopping power. It packs a punch without dragging you down. Innovation, performance, Kel-Tec. Learn more at KelTecWeapons.com. That's KELTECweapons.com. It's the P15. Try it at the range today. Tell them Dana sent you.
Elon's on that stage, jumping around, skipping like a dip on these things. You know it.
He's projecting. At least Elon Musk doesn't use jazz hands. Just saying. I just thought that was funny that Tim Walz, of all people. I mean, this is a guy who actually skips out like a... uses his jazz... I don't know what he's trying to do with some of these videos that I've seen of him. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you. We're at the top of the second hour. Coming up later on at the bottom of the hour, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis joins to discuss two amendments that Florida is facing. And constitutional amendments, these proposals that everybody's voting on in November. And it's kind of wild. They have to do with big weed and big abortion. Big abortion, big weed. That's what it's about. And they really feel like they're setting a pathway for, you know, they're trying to like federalize this stuff. Biden had reclassified marijuana. I think part of this was he thought this was a way to buy voters, reclassify it from a Schedule 1 to a Schedule 3. Here's the problem with the Florida Amendment 3, the marijuana, the Acapulco Gold legalization initiative. The ballot language is very interesting on this because the left works really, really hard to score like the most manipulative language possible on this. The more that I looked at Amendment 3, the weirder it was because it suggests that somehow you're going to be able to just have all the pot you want. Pot, pot, pot. Weed all day long. Smoke urban public. Grow your own. So, you can't do that, though. In fact, none of what I just said is going to be allowable. All this does is it sets up literally a cannabis cartel. That's what Amendment 3 does. There's this Canadian company called Trulieve that has spent an ungodly amount of millions. And they've been buying people off, all this stuff. It's called Trulieve. It is a major medical pot company. And they've got hundreds of retail outlets, you know, statewide. And they came in, wrote this law. They wrote the proposal. And they're spending millions upon millions of dollars to get it passed. It doesn't allow you. So this isn't even about pot. This law, Amendment 3, is not about marijuana. Amendment 3 is using the veneer of making this about marijuana But what it's doing is abusing the state process of literally setting up a cartel for itself, a monopoly. That's what's happening with Amendment 3 in Florida. And just as you would not have, well, we're not supposed to have, foreign entities come in and do things like, I don't know, buy radio clusters and things like that, you shouldn't be able to have a foreign company come in, write a law, pay for it, buy everybody off and get it passed. And that's what TrueLeave is doing. It's a Canadian law because it's a Canadian company and they wrote it. It's not. This is not a lawmaker that wrote this. So that's the first thing that needs to be established. The second thing is that you can't grow your own. You can only smoke pot if you buy it from the cannabis cartel, TrueLeave. Not making this up. That's what it's not an exaggeration. This has nothing to do with like freedom or anything. Like I said, this is not about marijuana. This company wants to abuse this process and make a monopoly for themselves protected by the state. They want to remove any liability for themselves, everything. They want full and complete protection, and they want to open the door to access, you know, tax dollars, all this stuff. And they want to enshrine it in Florida's constitution. So you wouldn't be able to buy from a neighbor. You can't grow your own. You would have to buy it from the state-approved cartel, right? Think of it like moonshine. Look at it like this. Like Texas just tried it, is now up to where I think Missouri is with moonshine. You know, you can like, what, distill 200 gallons of it at home. Missouri's is in their state constitution, has been for a long time. Yeah. So it would, if you had something like that equal to, like if it was about moonshine instead of marijuana, it would be a moonshine cartel and you couldn't make your own moonshine. You would have to buy moonshine from an approved cartel licensee within the cartel, a state approved agency that's paying off TrueLeave, the, you know, the big Canadian cartel that's operating this Acapulco gold, you know, monopoly. And that's really ultimately what it comes down to. I mean, other people argue over THC levels. I'm not even getting into that. I'm not getting into those weeds. No pun intended. Okay, it is. But as the governor had said, this is, regardless of what you think about marijuana and all of this, this is not the vehicle for it because it's not about marijuana. It's about literally creating a protected class for a Canadian company. And the other thing that's crazy about it, because you would have, there's only 25 state licensed pot companies, so it gives them the total control for all of it. And they had this, this person who basically works for this entity that TrueLeave essentially just bought off, this Smart and Safe thing. They go, well, if Floridians say that it's time to stop arresting adults for simple marijuana possession, but they don't. There's nobody in jail for pot. That's so stupid. That's absolutely dumb. That's not happening. So they're creating a straw man and arguing against it. But the other thing is the canines. I didn't realize this. So this was something that Sheriff J.D. Grady Judd had talked about. The canines, he said, are dual-purpose dogs, so they can track suspects, they can sniff out illicit narcotics, including marijuana, but you can't deprogram a dog. He says that canines would have to either become single-purpose tracking canines only, or all canines would have to be retired and replacements purchased and trained at a cost to local taxpayers of hundreds of thousands of dollars. I don't know why there's anyone who is actually a limited government person who doesn't want to expand government and business is against this. The only people who are not against Amendment 3 are people who either don't understand it because they haven't read the ballot language or they don't know what it's talking about. And they just decided to stomp in and throw opinions around without knowing the full subject of it. And I'm not being rude. That's the truth of it. Or they're people who were paid off to support it and they want big government and they actually think it's fine to have another example of government completely taking over something and running it like a cartel. Those are your only two options. There's no other option. So we're going to talk about that with them. And then they got their abortion thing, their Amendment 4. And the left has really been targeting them over this. You guys remember Kermit Gosnell, right? The Kermit Gosnell story. And I was amazed at this. And and this was in Pennsylvania. I mistakenly thought this was in Indiana, but this was in Pennsylvania. Kermit Gosnell ran one of the nastiest abortion clinics ever. And he was like, he won so many awards for like being an abortion doctor, like a women's champion and all this stuff. And he was given like a key to the city and all this. He was highly, highly awarded and much respected. And then when women started dying, Well, it's not that they started dying. They had been. But there was a particularly egregious case where first responders weren't able to get into his clinic because they had boxes and just junk hoarded up and piled up in front of the emergency doors. And they weren't able to get to this woman, and she didn't make it from a botched abortion. And when they actually finally raided his clinic, there was grime and dirt and dust. The stirrups were nasty. Imagine being a woman and going into an abortion clinic or going into your doctor and getting into a dirty bed with dirty stained coverings on the seat that you're supposed to sit on and nasty stuff on the stirrups that you're supposed to place your feet in. Does that feel comfortable to you? Can you guarantee the cleanliness of the tools used? I mean, because it's like vomit-inducing nastiness. They found literal, like, aborted babies in jars. They found dead babies in boxes stacked up by the side of trash bins. I mean, it's nasty. Nasty. And they had no doctors had admitting privileges. They didn't have an anesthesiologist there. That's how bad this place was. And it started this huge movement to demand that a lot of these clinics actually increase their levels of care if they want to be considered health facilities. And this was all around the time of Wendy Davis, who was being used as a tool to seed votes in Texas. Remember Wendy Davis? Well, she made this a big deal. They actually fought in Texas against increasing baby steps. They weren't even saying shut your clinics down. They were saying, can you please increase your standards of care? Maybe wipe your stirrups down after you murk one baby and a woman before you slap the other woman up there. Maybe clean it up a bit. Maybe make sure that your doctors have admitting privileges to hospitals in case something goes wrong. And they fought against that. They literally fought against increasing the standards of care for women. And they falsely claimed that it was because Republicans wanted to shut down all clinics. Well, they didn't have the balls to do that. They just were saying, can you just increase the standards of care? And so now in Florida, they're looking at amending their constitution to allow abortion on demand and possibly funded through Florida tax dollars. Literally, again, this goes full Ralph Northman, up till birth. But what's more, they're also stealing parental rights. They want to change the constitution to say that minors seeking abortions do not require parental consent. Here's a major issue with that. What if it's a 14-year-old girl who was raped and is brought in by her rapist to hide the evidence? Don't think it happens because it's caught on tape happening at numerous clinics. David DeLeiden, James O'Keefe, numbers, scores of people. It's one of the reasons Planned Parenthood got in trouble, by the way, because they're supposed to report this and they weren't reporting it in numerous states. So what happens then? You know, what? They don't find out, parents don't find out, and they don't report it. Well, no, they're trying to say, well, we notify them. Notification after the fact? That's not consent. It's another rights grab. They think you, as a parent, have no authority or investment in your child. This isn't about empowering minors. It's about hiding bad stuff adults do to them. But not only that, no admitting privileges for doctors, which that's not a requirement. It's one of the craziest things I've ever seen. It's gross. It takes them out of the... And that's the thing. Isn't that what the left has always said? They're always like, oh, it's a choice between a woman and her doctor. Well, this takes doctors out of it entirely. Non-doctors can approve late-term abortions. Late-term abortion is such a stupid non-medical term. If it's a danger to the mother's health, what they do is they induce preterm labor or they have an emergency cesarean. That's what it is. In fact, later-term abortions, according to the Guttmacher Institute, which is Planned Parenthood's own entity, the vast majority, it's like 80-something percent of these, just like with every other abortion, it's elective and it's for birth control reasons. So that's a huge, this is what they're fighting in Florida. It's wild. We're going to talk to Governor Ron DeSantis about that coming up. Now, the other thing that you need to keep your eye on, and we're going to talk about this more as well. Have you guys been watching BRICS? Here's a piece over at Foreign Policy. Can BRICS finally take on the West? You have Brazil, China, South Africa, India, Russia, as well. And I think the Saudis went over that. They all are meeting. The BRICS countries. BRICS standing for Brazil, Russia, India, China, and then South Africa later to expand it. I think they had somebody from the Saudis over there just to observe. But BRICS, they're talking about the incorporation of Iran, Egypt, Ethiopia, and the UAE into the bloc. And so the big question is becoming, are they going to become, are they really trying to challenge the West? Or are they just going to be like, you know, a little, you know, third world fight club? What's it going to be? But this is a huge thing because the essential de-evolution of the petrodollar has empowered them. Their BRICS bank is increasing non-dollar loans. They're doing all kinds of stuff. And they're gaining ground. And it's all the countries, Iran, you know, Russia, China. But then you've got India involved. And India and China aren't very friendly, but it's kind of interesting. Now you have India involved. India should be an ally with the United States, not them. What are we doing to counter that? That's something to keep an eye on. Life can take a toll on our bodies. There's no way around it. And whether it's just sitting for hours on end at your computer or if you're working a physical job, over time, your body pays the price. There is, however, an effective way to turn back the clock on pain. Relief Factor. Developed by doctors, Relief Factor helps support your body's response to inflammation. And the difference, instead of just masking pain, Relief Factor helps eliminate it for good, and it's 100% drug-free. My husband Chris has taken Relief Factor with incredible results. So if the pains that come with living a full life are affecting you, do as many others have done and turn back the clock on pain with Relief Factor. Their three-week quick start is just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. And when you feel good, it's amazing how much more you get out of life. Visit relieffactor.com or call 1-800-4-RELIEF. That's 1-800, the number 4-RELIEF. Try it for only $19.95 and turn back the clock on pain with Relief Factor. Relieffactor.com.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So now they're warning that the Gulf Stream is on the verge of collapsing, leading climate change scientists warn plunging the UK into a new ice age. Actually, I do believe that. I believe more in an ice age than I do global warming. That's actually a thing. We've been talking about this, like, even with our weekly readers, you know, I'm just saying, but they're saying that the collapse of the Gulf Stream would be disastrous, particularly for Britain, one small part of the massive global system. This seems like that is way more plausible than anything else. And this is the first time I'm actually hearing about them warning about this particular, like the freezing aspect of it. But it's like, it's cyclical still. Even that is cyclical. Let's see here a couple of other things. There was apparently, of course, very convenient, an E. coli outbreak linked to one particular sandwich at McDonald's. At one of their menu items, it is the quarter pounders. They said that 49 people were infected from an E. coli outbreak with the quarter. Those are actually quite delicious. I gotta say, I really want some of them fries, but I want Trump to salt the fries because I feel like they were properly, like, real salted. You know what I'm saying? R-I-L-L, real salted. So they said that CDC stopped using fresh slivered onions and quarter with their ingredients, and they said that they use these exclusively. They think it might actually be from the onions. There were a couple of things they were looking at, but still, I don't know. Archaeologists discovered a 2,000-year-old Indiana Jones temple. Interesting. In Israel. And they said it's a 2,000-year-old temple built by an ancient civilization that was featured in Indiana Jones. They said that it has it's a religious symbol. It has a rectangular plan, two rooms, internal routes. And it was off of the coast of Puzzoli. And very interesting. But they found it. It's like partially underwater, but they found it. We have our sit down with Florida Governor Ron DeSantis next. Stay tuned. I'll sleep like a baby at night knowing that I have the ability to use lethal force on someone that would threaten me or my family. But there are instances where either the government or private property owners who don't want any protection from liability or litigation after the fact, when they want to disarm you and make you a statistic. Came across a restaurant that we used to go to just the other day. Now they got their gun-free zone signs in their restaurant. I don't go there. But what if I had to work there? Or what if I had to go into a building where I had to do business and I wasn't able to carry? I've got friends that deal with that in New York and D.C. all the time. They went out and got the Byrna SD. That's the most popular model from Byrna Gun. What Byrna Gun does is it fires chemical irritant projectiles from up to 50 feet away to deter and to stop threats in their tracks. And when you compare it to an average stun gun, which is like one or two shots, Byrna's got 5 rounds. So you have a lot more opportunities to stop threats. and it's effective and it's legal in all 50 states. You can have it shipped right to your front door. It doesn't care about stupid gun-free zone signs. There's no background check. There's no permits. There's none of that stuff. Choose your color model, your accessories, your projectiles, everything. To learn more about the Byrna gun, visit Byrna.com/Dana for 10% off your purchase. That's BYRNA.com/Dana for 10% off.
Keep your finger on the pulse with the Dana Show podcast, delivering timely news with insightful analysis whenever you want, straight to you on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. Dana Lash here at the bottom of this second hour. Yesterday after the show, I had a discussion with Florida Governor Ron DeSantis over these two ballot initiatives, changes to the state constitution, Amendment 3 and Amendment 4 in Florida. And the reason why it matters outside of Florida is because they're going to try to do this in your state, too. These are out-state funded efforts to dramatically change freedoms in Florida. I sat down with the Florida governor again yesterday, post-show, to discuss it. Here is part of that discussion. Watch. Welcome back to the program. Your lovable curmudgeon, Dana Lash, here with you. And we are joined by, he's in the press every single day. He's a very busy man. He's taking some time out battling the big forces down in Florida, including hurricanes. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, who's been waging war against two separate amendments in the state of Florida. And I feel like these are amendments that have such a national appeal because they have national reach, Amendment 3 and Amendment 4. And I know that the governor's been very busy going to different events. I've seen you all over the state. It's good to see you. Thanks for taking some time today.
Yeah, you know, I mean, you've documented and other people have documented how since I became governor, Florida has become this really Republican bastion. We were 300,000 fewer Democrats when I got elected in 18. Now we have more than a million more Republicans. No one ever thought that was possible. We've been able to enact a very bold agenda. All the things conservatives have asked for, we've done. I got reelected by 20 points. We have super majorities in the legislature. And yet, if you can have well-funded interest, get on the ballot, spend $100 million on each amendment, and amend Florida's constitution, even with all that success, we can end up being California through the back door.
Wow.
So I think both of these amendments are problematic for what they represent individually. I think they'd be bad for the state. But I also think this is what the left is going to do to be able to change Florida, because they know they can't win a statewide election. They know they're not going to be able to take over the legislature. So if they can write a deceptive amendment, pump $100 million behind, lying to people, and then pass it, well, voila, that's the roadmap for them to turn our state into California.
And that's what they've been doing. I want to talk about each of these amendments. Florida Amendment 4, and this is the Right to Abortion Initiative. This is very deceptively worded. And I was reading just the particulars of this. And the thing that really struck me, Governor, is one of the things that it's like a slogan for the left. Like, this is a decision between a woman and her doctor. And correct me if I'm wrong on any of this, but in reading the ballot language, this takes doctors entirely out of the equation. So that doesn't fly here. I mean, it removes them. It removes them entirely. It removes them from approving late-term abortions. It removes parental consent. It actually takes away parental rights. I don't know why anyone would actually sign on to support anything like that.
Well, they wrote it in a very vague and deceptive way. They didn't define any of the terms that are in this. This should not have been allowed on the ballot. The Florida Supreme Court split 4-3 and put it on. That was a big mistake. Mm. And so now they're basically just spending tens of millions of dollars lying about Florida law. They're not talking about their own amendment for the reasons you said. It's the first amendment that would ever be enacted in Florida that actually takes away rights. It takes away the right to parental consent. We're very proud to be a state that has defended parental rights from medical to education across the board. This will be your kid in high school wouldn't be able to get a Tylenol prescribed without parental consent, but somehow an abortion for someone in eighth grade or ninth grade, it's nuts. Nobody supports that. But you're right on this doctor, because you know, if you're not pro-life, and I know people obviously that are not necessarily pro-life, but there's a lot of people that say, well, you know, they want abortion to be rare. They don't celebrate it, but ultimately they don't support legal protections for unborn because they think it should just be decided between consultation between the mother and the doctor. And that's what has typically been said. This amendment replaces physician with the term healthcare provider, but they don't define what that is, but that's much broader than a licensed physician. So you will have, if this amendment passes, non-physicians will be able to green light abortions up until birth, even for minors without the consent of the parents. How is that possibly something that's good? And I think that the issue would be, well, why would they do that? Why is that something that would be good? It's not good policy. Why are they doing it? Money. This will enrich their industry. If they don't have to have a physician that has admitting privileges in a close nearby hospital, which is typical regulation, because if something goes wrong, you need to be able to admit the patient to a hospital to be able to mitigate the harm. They want to totally wipe all that off the board so they can bring anybody in. They can pump these women with pills. It's going to create huge, huge problems, but it's all about money. This is not about protecting the health of mothers. It's not about protecting the lives of babies. It's about them propping up their industry and guaranteeing a cash flow to come in. And it won't just be about Florida. Dana, from Texas to Georgia, in this region of the country, you have generally pro-life policies in place. Florida, being where we're situated geographically, we would then be the tourist destination, and the abortion industry would absolutely recruit, and they wouldn't even need to have doctors manning these clinics. And it's really, really disturbing to think that that could happen.
I feel like, talking with Florida Governor Ron DeSantis here, for those who are listening to the radio program, not catching the simulcast, it feels as though people are far removed from the horrors of Kermit Gosnell, because one of the reasons that a lot of people started focusing on, you know, the sanitary conditions of these clinics and, you know, admitting privileges, basic things, was because of the horrors that this guy who had received awards, and I think it was in Indiana, received all kinds of awards in his state. And then there were women who were dying because they couldn't even get the doors open in his clinics. They were blocked. Emergency responders couldn't even get in. And that's one of the reasons that there was this huge push by, you know, pro-life, pro-baby activists. And now they're making this, these people are proposing to make the same mistakes in your state. Governor, you also mentioned, and this really bothers me, the rhetorical gameplay here with consent and notification. So parental consent is not required by this law. But they say, oh, well, we're notifying the parents. What does that mean if someone's daughter was preyed upon and is being taken surreptitiously to an abortion clinic to hide the crime of her abuser? How does that help the person who was preyed upon or the parents in getting justice?
Well, it doesn't. I mean, and it's not just that they're opting for notification. This would bar the enactment of a parental consent statute because this is in the Constitution, amending Florida's Constitution. So if it turned out that parents, you know, wanted more rights, you would not be able to actually do it. So instead of having the parent make the consent like they do on every single other thing involving medical, you are going to basically, what, just send them a postcard and say, hey, by the way, you know, your child is scheduled to have an abortion today or something. That is totally inadequate. But the groups that are pushing this amendment were already found when this whole campaign started, they advocate and they advise people to get around Florida's current parental consent law. So they got caught red-handed doing that. They had to take those instructions down off the website, but they don't make any bones about it. They are anti-parent. This notification is a bait and switch. They want the voter to think that this is protecting parents' rights, but the amendment doesn't tell you that it's actually repealing the right of a parent to consent. Now, we've obviously gone out and delivered that message. There's been advertising to that effect. But, you know, when you do these amendments in these elections, this is why the Florida Supreme Court really, you know, didn't do their job. We should all agree on everything about the amendment. So, for example, if you had an amendment saying you need 2/3 of each house of the legislature to raise taxes, which we have in Florida, that is a very simple amendment. I would agree with it. I think, Dana, you would agree with it. But even if you don't, fine. But we can all agree on what it's actually doing. And I think the tragedy with Amendment 4 and the reason why we've worked hard to educate people is because if you just read that at first glance, all the issues we just talked about are not something that would immediately spring to mind. That was intentional. They spent millions of dollars poll testing language to be as inoffensive as possible so that they can get 60% of the vote on this. That's not the way you do business. And so Educating people, I think, is great. When people find out all these things, the support for this thing really does go down.
And it recreates the Ralph Northam level of abortion on demand, taxpayer funded. I mean, all the way up to the ninth month of pregnancy. That's the other thing. That's what this amendment would allow. And the non-medical weird phrase like late term abortions, which is weird because a woman can be induced into preterm labor or get an emergency cesarean. But the majority of these, according to Planned Parenthood's own Guttmacher Institute, which broke off of Planned Parenthood, I mean, vast majority of these are, it's an elective, it's, birth control, up to the ninth month of pregnancy. That's too extreme, even for, Democrats, I even think that that's too extreme, which shocks me that this is being proposed in Florida.
That is 100% right. But I think that there are some voters, when they're informed that this would greenlight abortion till birth for virtually no reason, they say, well, that doesn't happen. Why would somebody want an abortion 6, 7, 8 months into it? And as you pointed out, those late term abortions do happen. Now, it is rare compared to all abortions, but you're talking about tens of thousands of late term abortions that occur every year in this country. And the vast majority of them are purely for elective reasons. No health of the mother, no life of the mother. Maybe the father doesn't want to support. Maybe there's this. There's a whole host of reasons why it happens, but they are elective. So that absolutely happens. It happens in Colorado, happens in California, and it would obviously, with this amendment, be something that would happen in the state of Florida. I think the thing that would be different than Colorado, California, and Florida, if Amendment 4 passed, those abortions not only could be done, but they would be done by non-physicians. And you are opening the door for a whole host of problems when you allow that.
Unbelievable. And we have more of this discussion with Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, then switching to Big Weed and foreign entities involved in writing law coming up next hour. In the meantime, we got Florida Man on the way.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
Spaghetti a la battery. A Florida man was jailed on a battery charge after he hit somebody with literal spaghetti. Vomit on his sweater already. His arms are heavy, but on the surface he looks calm and ready to drop bombs. But Markel Royale, that's his name. He forgot that you can't do that. Apparently he was drunk, became irate, and threw a bowl of spaghetti to his wife's head. Noodles hit her in the front of her body and her stomach. The officers arrived at the pair's Largo residence. They found her covered in spaghetti sauce. He has a lengthy criminal history that includes beating his wife and beating his kids. He had to beat my kids. Oh my gosh, this man. Well, let's just say Saw has nothing on what I would do. But he can't have a contact with this. He's got literally a rap sheet that goes over 20 years. Tons of drug convictions. He's a felon. He's, got firearms charges on top of being a felon in illegal possession. So, he's not a nice guy. Not a nice guy. So this guy carjacked his own customer, a Florida man car dealer, carjacked his own customer over a missed payment. The employee is a part of a family that owns the dealership and threatened the customer with a gun, too, apparently. So this is how this story happened. I mean, this came from Motor Biscuit, which is a fun site. So in Miami, this federal jury convicted a car dealer employee of carjacking. And the guy, he's 24 years old. He purchased a Honda Accord from the dealership in October 2023, a year ago. The U.S. Attorney's Office, they sent a press release. It was about, $13,800 in sale. Apparently the dealer never gave the buyer any loan paperwork, and the dealer had specific terms with the finance company. So if the buyer made a late payment within the first 2 months, the dealer would have to buy out the company's loan. So the buyer was late on their first payment, but ultimately paid it plus a late fee. And then the dealer got a letter from the finance company demanding the full loan. So then they were told not to repossess the vehicle, but apparently they did anyway. So the buyer had noticed one day he had a black BMW following him. And then he got out of apparently at a red light, a guy got out of the BMW and they carjacked the guy, took his car and left the buyer in the street. And that's how they repossessed it. Yeah, it's totally not how. And they literally found the guy that works with the dealer guilty of carjacking. And he brandished a gun at the guy. So he's sentenced in January. And apparently, if you thought that the auto dealer called Guru Auto Sales had some complaints with the Better Business Bureau, if you suspected it, guess what? You're correct on that. There are a few complaints that they got. I'm sure you're really surprised about it, but, you know, it's true. Very true. I've never seen anyone go to this extent for concert tickets. I don't even think Steve would do this. So this guy apparently was, and this is from a music site, a Florida man tried to cut off and eat a karate teacher's toes for Bass Nectar tickets.
Is that real? That's not real.
Looks like it is. It seems like it's a fake story, but apparently that's what they're describing. They're saying that's what it says. And of course, the article's written so poorly, I don't even want to like try to sift through it to like give you the story, because it's like I would fire all those people and I would buy the company that published the story just to shut it down and fire everyone as penalty for that one bad story where they bury the lead. Let's see. This also... Florida's been named the second best state to live in, even after all the hurricanes. Florida was named number two. And I don't think you really need a whole study for that, though, really. I mean, a lot of people are going there. They said it's the has one, some of the low seventh lowest tax rate, sixth highest median household income. So it's a great place to build wealth. And they said that it's a pretty safe state as well. So number two, the number one, they are saying is Massachusetts. And I think those people are crazy. Why? Is it just because of fall? It has to be just because of fall, right? Massachusetts, number one. How does it get number one? I don't know. I'm not buying that. I'm not buying it. And then this, apparently there was a kangaroo on loose in a Florida county. Volusia County said that it escaped away from a home. A kangaroo was spotted hopping around Volusia County. It got out of its enclosure. And the Volusia County Sheriff's Office was called. They shared video of it hopping around. Apparently... It gets better. The kangaroo escaped. You know why? Because a bear entered its enclosure.
What?
And a bear is still missing. So there's a bear and a kangaroo, which is what I feel like this WESH article kind of doesn't overstate enough. So there you go. The owner's been notified. They're on the lookout. Third hour on the way. Stick with us. Exactly. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you at the top of this third hour. Coming up, Trump is Laila Hetlar. We got to have that whole discussion because now Kamala Harris is out with a new response saying that 45 was talking about Hitler and all this. That I can't even. How many times? This is their big October surprise. You know this, right? You know it. And then also coming up, an initiative in Idaho that you need to pay attention to, because, again, they've been doing this state by state by state. This ranked voting. I'm going to explain to you what that means. And also, we're going to have apparently some people are saying that some people are trying to dishonestly, like, make you think that I'm in support of this with some of these very deceptive ads. So we're going to have a conversation about that with a friend of mine. In the meantime, though, I spoke with Florida Governor Ron DeSantis yesterday after the show. Big weed. This is something you really need to pay attention to. In Florida, they're trying to push this marijuana amendment to the Constitution, but it's not about marijuana at all. This is about a Canadian company coming in, writing law for the state of Florida and creating a little protected cartel class for itself where you can only deal with weed if you're dealing with them. They've created a safe space for themselves. It's like Disney 2.0. Watch this. Our conversation continues. I want to switch gears because there's another amendment that you've been fighting. And you've been doing, I don't know how many press conferences you and the First Lady of Florida have held talking about these two amendments. This is Amendment 3. So we're talking about big abortion and big weed. Because I know people like talking about big pharma and big government. These are big government things. And I honestly feel like this Amendment 3, it seems like they're all, it's like a veneer of rights, but it's hiding. Big government regulation is hiding behind this veneer of rights. This is such a crazy bait and switch because you're creating a cannabis cartel. That's what the language in this is proposing. So, and I'm not even like a pot person. I don't know anything about marijuana, but I do know that from reading the ballot language, someone wouldn't be able to grow it and then sell it to their neighbor if people think they're getting that dreamscape. That's not happening.
Exactly. So again, how did this amendment show up? We know Amendment 4 was all these far left groups, tens of millions of dollars. This amendment came into existence because of one big weed company, Trulieve, traded on the Canadian Stock Exchange. And they have spent $100 million The language of the amendment was written by the CEO of the company. So you think about it, it's a publicly traded company. The CEO has a duty. Everything they do is to maximize shareholder value. So they wrote the amendment not because it's the best thing for Florida. They wrote it because it will enable them to maximize profits. How? As you said, it's not really legalization of recreational marijuana. It's partial legalization. You can possess it and you can smoke it, but only if you buy it from them.
Right.
So they have this protected cartel. This one company would end up being the monopoly because they're so much bigger than the rest. They already have 100.
It's like a new Disney, but with pot.
They already have 150 dispensaries in Florida. Because, by the way, Dana, marijuana is legal in Florida. It's just you got to have a card. You get it prescribed by a physician, and then you go buy it. People do that. It was passed in 2016. My predecessor dragged his feet, didn't. I implemented it. I said the voters asked, we'll do it. So if people really want this, they get it. There's a lot of pot stores in Florida. Everywhere you go, you see them. It isn't like it isn't here, but you can't grow it yourself under this. You got to buy it from them. So they'll run these commercials saying, oh, people shouldn't go to prison for smoking marijuana. And I asked my Department of Corrections because, like, I've pardoned people for past offenses. I was like, is anyone in prison for smoking marijuana or possessing these small amounts? The answer is no. Not a single person in Florida is in prison for smoking marijuana. So that is just a red herring. But what will happen is if this passes, they're going to defend their cartel. People that try to grow it their own, these companies will lobby to get the book thrown at those folks, because if people can grow their own, it's going to hurt their profits. Another thing that's really disturbing about this, and you don't see it in the ballot summary, you actually have to read the text of the amendment, which is not on the ballot in Florida. It's just the self-selected summary that the proponent, in this case, the CEO of the weed company, wrote. They're giving themselves total immunity from civil liability, from the cultivation to the point of sale. And there's no exceptions to that. Blanket immunity. What does that mean? They sell you defective pot and you start having seizures. You can't sue them. If they're distributing marijuana to one of their dispensaries and they run somebody over in one of their trucks, you can't sue them. Now, they'll try to deny that. But if you read the language, there is no exceptions. They are writing that to give themselves total immunity from civil liability. I don't think that's ever been done in a state constitution before. For one industry, or really just one company, to be basically immune from any accountability for their conduct. And oh, by the way, let's just be clear about what will happen in terms of a public spaces. In Colorado, we now have 10 years of experience. You see marijuana everywhere. Colorado actually has pretty strong language on the books about not being able to do it in public. It's ineffective. Florida, the way this amendment's proposed, it's much more liberal than Colorado when it comes to public use, because there's nothing in it that permits regulation of public use. And they're making marijuana a constitutional right, which is different than how they've done it. Because it's one thing if you want to decriminalize it, but they're actually saying you have a constitutional right not to grow it yourself, but to possess it and smoke it if you buy it from them. And so what that'll mean is you are not going to be able to regulate this thing. It will be everywhere. Law enforcement is not going to want to be involved in it. And one of the things my wife, as you mentioned, just did an event in Polk County, Central Florida, Sheriff Brady Judd, who's a friend of mine, great guy. You know, he made the point they're going to have to decommission all their police canines.
I was going to ask you about this.
How are you going to be able to determine whether it's true leaf approved marijuana or street marijuana? The dog isn't going to be able to know that.
Yeah, you can't deprogram the dog.
You're going to put all these canines out of it. So there's so many different things. But I would just say this, of anything that I've seen come down the pike in Florida, this is the most foreseeable own goal that we could possibly do. If this does pass, you will see problems develop. You saw it in Colorado. You see it in California. This is written so poorly. Because, again, it's not designed to be good public policy for Florida.
Right.
It's designed to enrich the company that's put $100 million behind the effort. It will cause a lot of problems. And look, as I've said, you know, we have medical marijuana. People, I know it's not like everyone's deathly ill. They get these cards. They do it. No one's in jail in Florida for smoking marijuana. But we also don't have it rampant in every part of the state of Florida. And I think that would happen if this passes.
Talking with Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, just a couple points on this, because you mentioned the Colorado prohibition on public use. I mean, it amazes me, because after everything people went through with Big Pharma and the coronavirus and adverse reactions and no liability for pharmaceutical companies and the super fast express injections that they came out with, now they want to basically create a whole other industry mirror image to this. So that doesn't make sense to me. And the fact that any Republican would ever sign on it or defend it doesn't make any sense to me. I know that there's a lot of, I don't want to get into the weeds, no pun intended, with the THC levels, but the canine dogs, that's one other quick thing, because Grady Judd, and there was another sheriff that was talking about, Polk County Sheriff, and there was another law enforcement officer saying that they would have to, it would cost local taxpayers hundreds of thousands of dollars because they would have to decommission all of these dogs. But the other thing to this, and this will be my last point on this, do you feel like they're trying to create a federal pathway? Because you had Biden that reclassified marijuana from a Schedule 1 drug to a Schedule 3. And now it seems like there are all of these obstacles that were in the way of pushing out like a federal regulation scheme. Is that regulatory scheme, is Florida part of this? Do you get the sense that maybe they're trying to create that framework under the guise of free market with us?
Well, they may. I mean, I know Kamala Harris is supportive of Amendment 3 because I think they see this as a pathway of turning Florida blue. Because part of the reason we've gone so Republican is because people are attracted to the policies. And if you start to see us look more like the blue states, that is going to be attractive for those voters. So I think it's a political play that they're doing. I just want to come back to what you said at the beginning of this question about this cartel and how there is allusions to Big Pharma and some of the other things. Because if you think about it, this is the most anti-freedom way you can possibly do this. Because they are saying you can't grow your own, you can only buy it from them, which is not true freedom, to force you to do commercial transactions with a self-selected set of companies is not true capitalism and it's not true freedom. But then you have the freedom of people that don't want to be involved with marijuana to walk down the street without it reeking, to have parents be able to take their kids to the park or take them to a restaurant without having to explain to them why someone's on the side of the street smoking this stuff. So if you really wanted to do freedom, you would do it just the opposite of what they did. You would say, you know what, would you grow on your property and use in the comfort of your own home? None of government's business, but it doesn't belong in public. And Floridians have a right to conduct their affairs and live their life without having that intrude on them. The True Leaf Amendment that they're paying $100 million, they do exactly the opposite. It's not true freedom, but they're spending $100 million because it will line their pocket.
And this is just unbelievable to see. Well, we're going to watch and see how these two amendments, how this plays out. I know that you've gone after some Republicans for dragging their feet where it concerns the pro-life issues for Amendment 4. I read a piece, this is at Politico. DeSantis began chastising Republican lawmakers for not doing more to fight the measure. This is on Amendment 4 and a separate initiative seeking to expand abortion rights. And you've said, you say you're about all these issues, and when it's time to do something, you're nowhere to be found. You've been pushing back as well on some of the more moderate big government Republicans that have been supporting this cartel creation with Amendment 3. Do you have any final thing you want to add on? Because there's kind of a little Republican.
Well, here's what I'd say. I mean, Dana, you followed this stuff for a long time. You have elected Republicans. You know, they're happy to virtue signal in front of some pro-life audience, beat their chest about how pro-life they are. They'll talk about how this is the most important issue. It's the foundation. Fine. I mean, like, you know, if you're going to do that, great. But then when you have this absolutely atrocious amendment in your own home state and you don't lift a finger to try to help to defeat it, then I really question how sincere you were about those boisterous pro-life speeches and those boisterous pro-life comments that you were making. You know, there's some of these Republicans, they just, whatever way the wind's blowing, they never want to go against the grain. They never want to have to fight with the wind in their face. But the whole basis of leadership is to stand up for what's right when it's not easy. If you always had the wind at your back, everyone would be able to do it. Leadership wouldn't necessarily be that big of a deal. It only matters when the chips are down, when you got the wind in your face, the media against you, big money, all that stuff. So, yeah, I've just been personally disappointed. It's not a question about me chastising. It's just, I would think that if this is an important issue to you, if you've publicly said that, that you would want to do all you can to make sure that something this draconian and this crazy doesn't get enacted in your state's constitution, because you can't unring that bell. Yeah. We can pass legislation, and sometimes you tweak it. Sometimes there's things you got to do. This is playing for keeps. This will never be changed in Florida's constitution if it gets in. So I think now's the time to be able to step up and make your voice heard. And I will say, you've had a lot of the congressmen have stepped up. They've made donations from their campaign committee. A lot of our state legislators have stood up. So a lot of Republicans have done a lot. And I did thank them for that. I don't know if Politico carried that, because they're usually trying to cause controversy. So I've thanked a lot of the Republicans because they have done really good work, and I'm proud of them. But we have had definitely had some that are just nowhere to be found. And it's just disappointing to me that would be the case.
Oh, there you go. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis. There's one thing you can definitely say about you. He fights. Led your state through two hurricanes just in the past, 10 days? And now you're fighting these two amendments on behalf of voters. We appreciate your time with us. And we're glad to see Florida is bouncing back, because it's almost like they were made to do that after these hurricanes. Thank you, Governor.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
I needed to desperately get to the story of the dog on the top of literally like the Great Pyramid in Giza. This is crazy. It was apparently a paraglider spotted a stray dog on the top of one of the big pyramids, and they actually have video of it. I have no idea how this dog got all the way up there, but he did. And he got himself down. They flew over the pyramid again the next day, and then they found somebody else got video of the same dog making its way safely down. But there's a lot of stray dogs. It's kind of sad, but they said that they're trying to, paragliders looking for animal shelters to help the dogs find safe houses. But that's like really crazy. There's actual video of this, like this poochie's coming down from this. It's crazy. So I hope they stay safe over there. This is actually hysterical, and this is courtesy of Lorraine, who found this. So protesters have been vandalizing and attacking this pizza shop because of Mary and Barry Knott's. Now, it's a little weird, but they are basically, so it's like, it's they're just like garlic rolls, but they're in Knott's, and then they're called powdered Knott's because of Mary and Barry's cocaine use, right? So they said that it's a, you know, how dare you reduce his legacy to a crass ad, and it's called Mary and Barry Knott's, and they have like the garlic on it. It's just actually hysterical. And I really want some. Actually, it's a dessert, but they do serve Mary and Barry. So it's like they use this dough that you would have like for a garlic knot, and then they make it like a sweet dessert, and you dip it in, it has powdered sugar on. It's actually, they sound amazing. So I think people need to just lighten up, you know, just, you know, have some of the powder. And lab-grown human brain cells are driving a viral virtual butterfly in simulation. It's pretty crazy. Up next, an Idaho initiative and Hitler.
The Dana Show Podcast, your fast, funny, and informative news companion for those always on the move. Subscribe on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you at the bottom of this third hour. Very crazy Wednesday. We still have to talk about Kamala calling Trump Hitler or something like that. It's like another Hitler thing. I know. So it's good to be with you all. Welcome back. You can listen coast to coast. You can also check out the simulcast, Channel 347 DirecTV, as well as Rumble. That's where all of the shenanigans happen. And you can also find us on X and Facebook and Substack, Chapter and Verse. So I get a lot of comments from time to time about some of the ads that are taken out on like our podcast and like from different affiliates. And we don't control all of those. But if they're leftists, I will happily take their money and then donate it against like to whomever the leftist is running against, like the Republican challenger. That's one of my favorite things to do with leftist ad money. And this one was weird, though. And a very good friend of mine made me aware of this. And I know that there's so many different ballot initiatives right now in so many different states that I wasn't really paying that close attention to what was happening with some of the stuff that Idaho was doing. And then I realized, well, this, it's called ranked choice voting. And if it sounds complicated and vague and you kind of want to pull your hair out, that's on purpose, because they want to make it as difficult as possible for you. It's like one of the most Goldberg ways ever to select a candidate. And Alaska's been fighting with it. Missouri's trying to ban it. There's been this, like Jamie Raskin, just like literally last month, Jamie Raskin was talking about, Congressman, how they want to implement that to be like a national thing. So this is something that even if it's not in your state yet, you kind of want to pay attention to it, because you could end up having, and they have had this, you know, a Democrat that maybe gets 30% of the vote and two Republicans that get 60% of the vote. And then you have an electorate that's like, you know, 60 plus Republican that ends up winds up with a Democrat representative. That actually could happen with ranked choice voting. And now there's like this big effort in Idaho, and they're running ads on our podcast where they're trying to convince people that this is a smart thing to do. I want to play this, and then I want to bring in the whistleblower for it all. Play this ad, because it's so, it sounds so weird. This is the
ad. This message was paid for by Veterans for Idaho Voters.
If you're just joining us, we've been talking about Proposition 1, which you'll see on the ballot in November. Let's go to Mark from Boise. Mark, welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I was born in Idaho. I'm an Idaho native, and I spent 25 years in the Air Force. I served all over the country in Texas and Florida, Utah, even here in Idaho, and I had a tour in England where I represented my country overseas. When I retired and returned home, I found I had less of a say in my government now than I did the first time I voted right out of high school. And now with closed primaries, I have no say in the candidates I want to represent me because I'm an independent.
Oh, my gosh.
And that's not right.
No, you're not alone. I'm guessing you'll be supporting.
And I mean, none of these people sound, because the caller sounds like way too calm, and the host sounds like way too scripted. Yeah, it's like, it's so, if one could die of cringe, you could if I let that go. But there are people out there who might be passively listening and hear this and be like, oh, okay, yeah. And then it's just, you know, plants the seed, and that's all it does. It's pretty weird. My friend Drew Matich, who you can find at Drew Matich, M-A-T-I-C-H, on X, he's a real estate guru. He lives in Idaho. He's a recovering television executive, I think you can say. And he like warned me about this. He sent me a message and said, hey, you know, this Proposition 1, this ranked choice voting, they're advertising on your podcast, and this is like a huge deal. And so he made me aware of this, and I'm so glad that he did. And Drew joins us via Skype. Drew, thank you so much for catching this. Of course, you wouldn't passively listen. Like, you heard this and you're like, nobody sounds like that.
No, I was pulling into my garage the other night, and this ad came on. I was at the beginning of your absurd podcast, and this ad came on. And the first thing I heard was this voice that I would go as far as to say was sounding like you. Was trying to sound like you, and then this fake, you know, this fake news radio show. And so I just wanted to bring it to your attention so that you could push back on it and I could push back on it. And, you know, we could tell the people listening up here that it's BS.
It is. And I mean, it's crazy where all they're trying this. Like in Idaho, they're trying this in Idaho. Missouri's trying to ban it now.
Well, Michael Walsh was right. They never stop. They will never stop. And that's what I think people up here, you know, some of the establishment Republicans, and there are a lot, don't understand. You know, they've been kind of fat and happy conservatives.
They forgot how to fight.
They forgot how to fight. And all of us who have come up from California, to the chagrin of some up here, are the most conservative ones. I mean, the primaries, you know, we forced out four, you know, anti-school choice people in May. And so I attribute that to the Californians.
I love that what you're talking about is kind of the reverse. That's what's happening in some of these other places where the Californians
in Texas,
come in and
right?
They make it liberal. You go to Idaho and you make it more conservative. Why didn't you come to Texas? Dang it, Drew.
I wanted to be a little closer to Los Angeles for a while because I was still doing the TV thing. And it's about an hour and a half flight, and it was easy to commute. And it's just, it's beautiful up here.
Oh,
and
gosh.
It's not humid.
I missed the lobbying opportunity, Kane. We really missed it. We could have lobbied Drew hard. Like, we could have showered him with brisket. Like, we could have really lobbied him hard. But this ranked choice voting, though, talking with our good friend Drew Matich, this, I mean, it's like common core math for voting. The fact that you have to have charts and graphs to explain it to people, just like do a regular election.
We call it rigged choice voting, some of us, and it's really mob rule. It's one person, four votes, if you really want to get right down to it, because you are weighing your vote to the people on the ballot.
Yeah.
And it's complicated and it's confusing. And that is on purpose. And
on purpose.
You have to look at the people who want this and then decide, if it's for you. You know, if Jamie Raskin wants it, I don't want it.
Yeah. Yeah. Anything Jamie Raskin wants isn't something that, that I want. And with this, I mean, you could end up, I mean, and it's very true, you could be in, you know, a pretty red-leaning district, and you could have a Democrat, and say, if you have a couple of Republicans that are splitting the vote, which Republicans do it because they love shooting themselves in the foot, and they're it's not just like, you know, people like Adam Kinzinger either, but you could end up in a red-leaning area and have a Democrat because of this.
100%. And going back to what I said earlier, we have a couple of you know, kind of squishy Republicans who got voted out in May because of their stance on school choice mainly, but they could come right back in into this primary system, and because of, you know, oddities in the count and oddities in the vote waiting, could just wind up right back in the legislature.
It's unbelievable. I mean, that's not how the system is supposed to work at all.
To talk about that independents don't get the right to vote. You register to vote, and if you want to vote for the Democrat, you register in that primary. It's easy. It's not that difficult.
Yeah, it's not difficult at all. And that's the other thing. Like, it opens primaries up. And that's a problem that we're dealing with in Texas as well. But rigged choice voting, and it's when, for people who are just tuning in, talking with Drew Madich, it's when you're ranking candidates in order of your preference. And so, like you were saying, I mean, you could, you know, like have like four votes. I mean, it's just weird how this is not a fair system, because you're disenfranchising voters with this, with the purposely.
And they're selling it as just open primaries. That's mm-hmm. all they're calling it.
Yeah.
You know, when they promote it. And, you know, that is so inviting. Open primaries.
Is this actually going to pass up there?
I don't know. The polling is kind of narrowly against right now, but it's still nerve-wracking, because the last poll I saw was like 45 against and 35 for. So that leaves a lot of undecideds out there.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's a little nerve-wracking, and our Republican leadership up here is not doing what they need to do to speak out against it. I mean, our governor put out a press release. Our representatives and senators are, you know, they tweeted about it.
Yeah.
Nobody is really going, you know, putting themselves on the line to go to what Governor DeSantis said in your last hit. You know, those pretenders out there will not put themselves on the line for this.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we're going to keep an eye on it. And I'm so thankful that you like brought this to my attention, because I had no idea. I didn't know. I mean, I knew that there was, you know, every state's dealing with their stuff. And I was kind of looking to see, you know, what these amendments in Florida, and looking at a couple things in Missouri. And there's a couple amendments up there. And then all this, they're real sneaky about it, but they never give up. That is true.
And take your ballots. Take them in. Take them in now. I'm taking mine today. Vote now. And all of you up here in Idaho, vote no on Prop 1, please.
There you go. See, that's the ad right there. Drew Madich. Good to see you, my friend. Drew, I'm so thankful that you brought this to my attention. We got to have you back. Thanks for what you do.
Thanks, Dana. Good to see you.
Of course. You too. Thanks, my friend. That's crazy. And then that ad, no one would ever, that sounds, I mean, to us, it sounds weird. But if you're passively listening to it, you know, you might think.
You're like, my gosh, this veteran, this patriot thinks Prop 1 and opening primaries is a great idea.
Right?
Maybe let's do it.
I wanted to play with you before we run out of time. We've got to get this audio. So they're back to, oh my gosh, it's literally Hitler. They're back to the Hitler thing. This is Kamala Harris. I mean, when was this? Like an hour and a half ago?
Yeah.
Brand new.
And let's be clear
here we go.
About who he considers to be the enemy from within. Anyone who refuses to bend a knee or dares to criticize him would qualify in his mind as the enemy within. Oh, like judges, like journalists.
You guys tried
like
to kill Kavanaugh.
Nonpartisan election officials. It is deeply troubling and incredibly dangerous.
Do you remember when a Democrat was going to try to assassinate Brett Kavanaugh, and then he ended up, after Schumer was like, "And you, Brett Kavanaugh," outside of Supreme Court? Remember that?
Yeah.
I mean, if you want to talk about judges and stuff, he's a dictator. He's, you know, they're so mad. They are so mad and so desperate. So they're bringing out the sexism. They're bringing out the misogyny. Oh, now, well, I guess we got to bring out Hitler. Get out the Hitler card. Let's go ahead and do that. Like, they have the John Kelly thing again. Like, none of this is credible. This is so stupid. Oh my gosh, there's more. Can we get this Karine Jean-Pierre audio that just dropped? We're going to go to break, and then I got this Karine Jean-Pierre audio for you. Oh, they're laying it on thick, thick. As we move, we have a lot still to hit. It's a busy day.
On the go and need a quick news fix with a fun twist? Follow Dana's Absurd Truth Podcast for bite-sized, informative episodes perfect for your busy schedule on Apple or wherever you get your podcast.
Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you. Can we play this? I got to get you set up for this Karine Jean-Pierre soundbite because they are now going full throttle against this whole thing with Trump and Hitler. Oh my gosh, go ahead. This is so goofy.
I mean, yes, we have said, he said himself. The former president has said he is going to be a dictator on day one. We cannot ignore that. We cannot. And we cannot ignore or forget what happened on January 6th. Oh, God.
It never ends. It never ends. She's saying that he believes he's a fascist and a dictator, and he was praising. I mean, this is just getting... it's getting ridiculous. I mean, I know that we're I was looking at my calendar, a week and a half out, right? Yeah. But this is just now really desperate. I mean, they've been doing this. This is like their last ditch effort to try to ding Trump. I mean, that's ultimately what it is. They're trying so hard to make it out like, oh, she's saying that she said yesterday we learned Trump's four chief of staff confirmed Trump said that he wanted generals like Hitler, and Trump said he doesn't want a military that's loyal to the concept. Yeah, I just look. Can we stop acting like someone who served in the military? We literally had a revolution to break the yoke of being under military control and quartering and a monarchy. And there's a difference between respecting service and then giving someone a pass and believing everything that they say simple and using that as a justification for it and using that as a defense against any kind of accountability with the truth in their statements. I'm really tired of this, and it's very anti-American. It's literally opposite of everything that the animating spirit of liberty upon which this country was founded upon and with. And just because someone's a retired four-star general doesn't mean that they are being truthful. It doesn't mean that they're not misrepresenting anything or lying about something or making it up out of thin air. This is right on the heels of this other Jeffrey Goldberg piece over The Atlantic where they completely made something up. Yeah, it's almost like they're trying to get him shot again. I mean, it really is. I mean, and then she just made stuff up. So I don't know. I'm just curious. Are they concerned about the Holocaust? Because their concern about what Hamas did to Israel doesn't really... That's not really in keeping with that. Right. And there are Americans over there that are held hostage. I'm just saying, you know, I mean, only one side. I mean, if you want to talk, I'm just saying, I think I pretty much know, you know, what the SS, what side they would come out on against Hamas versus Israel. I'm just saying, pretty sure SS would be out there calling for a ceasefire. You know, just saying, this is so stupid. And like, they're saying, oh, well, it's from the people who know him best. John Kelly. This is so insane. They have nothing. They have nothing. They're mad. They're desperate. This is all they have. She has nothing else to put out there. So they do this, and it's offensive and insulting. I'm going to be talking about this tonight on Fox. I'll be on Ingram Angle at the top of the hour. So make sure you tune in tonight. That'll be at 6 p.m. Central. Today in Stupidity, Kane.
Yeah, John Kelly was sitting on that information all the way up to about 13 days before the election.
Oh, yeah, he just remembered.
It was so important.
This is their big October surprise.
He just remembered. Anyway, this is, you had mentioned what Kamala said. I just think it's stupid she went out there and did this, so I'm going to let people hear a little bit of this.
Yeah, John Kelly, a retired four-star general, confirmed that while Donald Trump was president, he said he wanted generals like Adolf Hitler had.
Oh,
Donald Trump said that because he does not want a military that is loyal to the United States Constitution.
What? This is exactly opposite of everything he said. They are so desperate. It is unbelievable how how they'll just manufacture. I mean, we're 2 weeks out, I get it, but damn.
Right.
Stupid.
And that does it for us today, folks. Make sure you find us on Substack, Chapter, and Verse, Facebook, YouTube. Like and subscribe. The podcast, Absurd Truth, back with you tomorrow. Catch me on Fox tonight.